Good morning. I hope all is well. I miss you all, and I'm looking forward to us getting back together again as soon as possible. But until then, like I always say, I'll continue to do the messages online. Today, we're continuing in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be starting with verse 12 all the way through verse 19. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for the honor to be able to share the word of God with those that will be listening to this message. And I just pray, Lord, that you will bless this message, Lord, and that we will get something out of it. Lord, even during this COVID-19, you know, a lot of people are suffering from it or even suffering from being doing this in-house quarantine. And Lord, I think these verses really fit today, what's going on. And so may we find comfort and peace in your word, Father. I just pray that you will bless me, Lord, as I speak your word, and that you will bless your people who hear. I will always give you the thanks, the honor, and the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, no matter what we may be going through in this life, God is always with us, and he hears us when we are going through fiery trials. We should probably hang a sign in our homes that reads, "Warning, living for Christ could lead to suffering." And I'm not saying that we should hang up these signs. But anyway, you know, I just think at times that maybe we should have things around us to remind us, hey, you know, we're Christians. We're going to suffer at times, you know, but we need to remember that we're here on this planet and we're going to go through things. You know, I'm reminded of Proverbs 6, verse 21, where it says, "Bind them continually around your heart, tie them around your neck." Now, in that particular proverb, it was talking about the instructions of the father and mother that was given to the child, and that the child not forget what was taught to them by their mother or their father. And so he says, "Bind them continually around your heart and tie them around your neck." And so I think there's times that we need to remember that we are going to suffer because we're here. So to remind us that as Christians, we are not always going to have good days. That is so true. We are to remember that fiery trials are part of life, whether we are believers or not. So even with this COVID-19, believers along with non-believers are suffering through this. And we need to realize that, hey, we're here and we're going to suffer at times. We're going to find ourselves in situations that we don't like. But what we're about to look at here is about Christians going through things, whether it's through sickness or whether it's through adversaries. You know, it's talking about fiery trials. You know, we are all going to suffer something before death. We're going to go through some hard times, whether it's from the flesh, coming from the flesh, or from principalities. Some of us will suffer more than others. Here in this chapter, Peter is encouraging his readers to not think it strange that they would face hard times. You know, tough times are to remind you and I to keep in contact with God through his word and through prayer. And most of all, to remember he does hear you and I when we cry out to him. Someone wrote this: "A friend of mine said to a lifesaver at Newport, Rhode Island, 'How can you tell when anyone is in need of help when there are thousands of bathers on the beach and in the water making a perfect hubbub of noises?' To which he answered, 'No matter how great the noise and confusion, there has never been a single time when I could not distinguish the cry of distress above them all. I can always tell it.' And that is exactly like God. In the midst of the babble and confusion, he never fails to hear the soul that cries out to him for help amid the breakers and storms of life." End of quote. So, if a lifeguard can hear when someone is needing help by hearing them cry out, so can our Lord hear us too. So, don't think it strange when life throws problems our way, but rather, like the word says, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Now follow me, 1 Peter 4:12, starting at the 12th verse. "Beloved, Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So you see, we're not to think it strange when things happen to us. I think there's too many pastors out there telling people, hey, you shouldn't have to go through this or that or whatever. Well, we're going to go through things, and we shouldn't think it strange that we're going through that kind of stuff. If anything, we should count it a joy that we are going through for Christ. I mean, there are people in our world today that are suffering not from sickness, not because someone just giving them a hard time, but they're actually suffering because they are Christians. And believe it or not, it's still happening today in this world. So we here in America, we suffer in different ways, but not as much as some people in other parts of the world because of their Christian faith. We suffer here in a different way. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 3, it says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." That was James chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. So when you look at the word trials, trials are of sometimes it come from outward circumstances like conflicts, sufferings, and troubles encountered by all believers. We all face them. Trials are not pleasant and may be extremely grievous, but believers are to consider them as opportunities for rejoicing. Troubles and difficulties are a tool which refines and purifies our faith, producing patience and endurance. And that's what we are to do. We are to have faith. We are to endure no matter what. So the word translated testing of your faith occurs only here and in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So the term which means tested or approved was used for coins that were genuine and not corrupted. The aim of testing is not to destroy or afflict, but to purge and refine. And this is what God is doing, allowing to happen in our lives. He's refining us if we would but allow him to do that. You know, it is so vital to Christian maturity. Even Abraham's faith had been tested. And you can see that in Genesis 22, 1 through 8. James mentioned patience, which means that it surpasses the idea of bearing affliction. It includes the idea of standing fast under pressure with a staying power that turns adversities into opportunities. And that's what we are to remember. The more we are able to go through things, the easier it gets because our faith grows if we will allow God to do that. So no matter what we go through, we're able to endure those things because of our faith in God through Jesus Christ, His Son. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12, Paul wrote, "If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." So persevering in the faith, even in the face of hardship or persecution, will result in a reward when Christ returns. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." And this is what we are seeking, to be with Christ, to go through, knowing that at the end, we will be with Him. And so, also, he had mentioned that to Timothy, we are not to deny Him, because if we deny Him, He will deny us also. So this is a warning to those who would choose to deny Christ. Jesus will not save those who shrink from identifying with Him or from serving Him on this earth. As believers in Christ, we are the children of God. And that's what we have to remember, that we are the children of God. So don't allow sickness, don't allow death. We're not to allow any of these things to separate us from God. Because we are the children of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And we are to remember that no matter what we're going through, we will be glorified together with Christ. And that is such a beautiful, beautiful promise. And me personally, I believe it. And I will go through whatever I need to go through. But at the same time, I am not going to turn from Christ. You know, I know and I've heard of people who've turned from Christ because of certain situations that happened in their lives. So we have to remember that we are to keep our eyes on the Lord even through suffering, the good, the bad, or the ugly. And I've said that many times. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to continue to trust in the Lord. That is my goal in this life, is to be with Christ when it's all said and done. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, 21, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And seeing that's the promise we have to those who endure to the end. No matter what people are saying, no matter what they say about you, even through persecution, we will be blessed to be with the Lord for eternity. Jesus said this in Matthew's chapter 5, verse 11 through 12. "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So, you see, the believer does not have an inborn light. We have reflective light. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we reflect it. Therefore, we need to make sure that nothing comes between us and the Lord's light. So, as long as we are close to the Lord, when people see us reacting in a different way when we go through trials and tribulations, I really believe that is the very time when we are reflecting the image of Jesus Christ. We're reflecting. It's like the moon that reflects the light of the sun. Jesus is the sun, and I see us as the moons. And when we do not allow eclipse to block us from Christ, people will see the love of God in our lives. They will see the image of Christ through our lives, even through the trials or tribulations. You know, I see this as that's the time we should shine the brightest. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what we are going through as believers, we continue to reveal the image of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul wrote, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, so all believers behold the glory of the Lord in the Scripture and are transformed into the image of God. Christ is the image of God. And so when it says glory to glory, it means an ever-growing glory. As believers behold the glory of God in the Word of God, the Spirit of God transforms us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is a description of the gradual process of sanctification that goes on in our lives. And so when we're going through things, when we are trusting in the Lord, we begin to reflect the image of Christ. You know why? Because we're humbling ourselves before Him. We are allowing Him to lead us and guide us. That is when I believe that we are led by the Spirit of God. And when we're being led by the Spirit of God, we are walking in the Spirit. We are projecting the image of Christ and not the image of man. And that's what we are encouraged to do. This is what Peter is encouraging the believers. Don't count it strange. And so, again, that's why I'm saying, hey, warning, living a Christian life could lead to suffering. But I would rather suffer as a Christian, whether it's sickness, whether it's someone that is wreaking havoc with me, no matter what, I still want to keep my eyes on the Lord, no matter what. It's like the Word of God says in Romans 8, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." And seeing that's what's so important. When we do that, then we are doing the works of Christ. Our labor is not in vain. The things that we're going through are not in vain, because we're trusting in God. We're trusting that the light of His Holy Spirit will shine through us, and that everything that we do, whether no matter what we're going through, but we're still concentrating on doing the will of God. I really believe that this is what catches the attention of the world when they see us reacting totally different than what they're going through. So we do it without complaining. We do it without fussing, without fighting, without going up against each other. But we do it in the name of Jesus. We do it with an act and not with our lips only. Follow me now to verse 14. If you are reproached, which means criticized, for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. So when you look at the word reproach, it means being criticized, like I said earlier. Christians may be unjustly blamed because of their association with Christ. Peter calls this situation blessed because it brings great reward in the next life. So again, whatever we're going through in this life, because we trust in Jesus Christ, whether it's sickness, whether it's people going up against you, we are going to be rewarded for the works. It's not salvation, it's rewards. God is going to reward those who stay faithful through no matter what. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." So we can rest assured that as Christians, even though we may suffer unjustly on behalf of Christ, we will always discover that when we do that in His name, people will know then that we have a close relationship with God, even during the period of these trials and tribulations. Because you know what? When we trust in God, He will refresh our spirit. He will refresh us. So as we behold the glory of the Lord, we reflect it. When we pay attention, I am going through this, but I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. And so because I am doing that, then my life is being transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is when people are able to see the light of Christ in our lives, because we have such a close relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it uses the word transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, it talks about doing all things without complaining and fighting each other. And seeing that's what's so important. We're not complaining and we're not fighting each other, but we stand together as one in Christ. We stand together as a body of believers. You remember, no wonder Jesus said, you know, that we are to love one another. Because when we love one another, it shows the world that we are a part of Christ. And if we are a part of Christ, that means that we are not a part of the world. And I say amen to that. Follow me now to verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. So here, if we're suffering because of what we've done, then that has nothing to do with Christ. I've seen people do things and say things or get themselves in trouble, and they go, "Oh, I'm suffering in the name of Jesus." No, you're not. You're suffering because that's what you did. If you end up in jail, you ended up in jail because you did something you should not have done. So Peter is saying, hey, if you're going to suffer, don't let it be because of something you've done. It's better to suffer because you're doing well than to suffer because you have done something wrong. And so people are going to go against us, but let's not give them a reason. In the sense that we're going, you know, he's saying here, don't be a murderer, don't be a thief, and don't do evil things. And most of all, don't be a busybody. Don't meddle around in other people's business. And so when we do that, we separate ourselves from the way of the world. You know, don't sit in jail and say, well, I'm in jail because of the name of Jesus. No, you're in jail because you did something wrong. And so here, Peter is saying, you know, make sure that if you're going through these trials and tribulations, that wasn't brought on by what you have done. And so we are to remember that. Follow me now to verse 16. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So again, you see, if you're going to suffer, let it be because you're serving Christ, not because you've committed some crime. And if he is telling them, if you're suffering because of Christ, don't be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. We are to glorify God. Thank you, Lord God. It reminds me of Peter and John when they were told not to speak the name of Jesus, and they were caught speaking the name of Jesus again. And to make a long story short, they ended up beating them. And instead of John and Peter coming out complaining about their beating, they start rejoicing and they say, hey, we suffered for Christ. They counted it all joy. It's not saying, hey, be happy because you were beaten, but they were happy because they suffered as Christ, because Christ did, because they remember, Jesus said, remember, I'm the master, and the servant isn't greater than master. And so if the master is going to go through it, how much more are you going to go through it? And that's what we have to remember. We're not prima donnas just because we're Christians, you know. And unfortunately, there's people out there teaching that. But let me tell you, if you're truly serving the Lord, you may go through some trials and tribulations. You may suffer. And I like this. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian. Now, the term Christian is used only 3 times in the New Testament. It's used here in 1 Peter chapter 4, 16, and in Acts chapter 11, 26. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, and Acts 26, 28. So this word means one who belongs to Christ. It was used by outsiders. The word was probably a term or of disrespect. They really meant something bad when they go, oh, you Christians. It wasn't really meant to be a good word, but to believers, it meant adopted into the family of Christ. In the early days of the church, the believers did not have a typical name. They called each other brothers or disciples, believers, followers of the way, or saints. You could find these terms in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And you know, anyway, Jews never did call them Christians because, number one, they didn't believe in the Messiah. So what they would call them is Nazarenes. So those are the believers of the Nazarenes. But some of the Gentiles who were converted because of the missionary Jews, they were called Christians from their pagan neighbors. They were the one that were calling them this new name, Christian. Again, which it was supposed to degrade them, but even now we use the word Christian as something good, in the sense that we are children of God. We are part of God through Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So it here it says the time has come for judgment. So judgment does not always imply condemnation in Scripture. When used in relationship to Christians, it consistently refers to the evaluation of believers' works for the purpose of reward. So this verse is talking about a type of judgment of works of the believer. And then at the end, it's talking about those who are not even a part of God. Where are they going to end up? We're going to be judged as believers, but according to our works, not according to salvation, in the sense that, okay, you didn't do this, so you can't make it into heaven. This is because we have accepted Jesus Christ. Now our works are going to be judged. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, Paul wrote, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And again, this is the fire that is judging the works. And the 14th verse says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. 15th verse, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So this judgment, we're going to be judged. Everything that we have done as Christians, it's going to be weighed. Now, if everything was selfish, done based on my selfishness, it's going to be burned up. You know, maybe I worked really hard. I was a good hard worker, and I got a nice home, and I did all these things. Well, those things are going to be burned up. But everything that I've done for Christ is going to be saved. And then there's going to be those people who just going to, everything that they did was, again, it was about me, myself, and I. And I'm talking about Christians. But it says that if all their works were burned up because it was a part of them, it says that soul shall not be lost, shall not suffer loss. So the thing is that when we stand before the Lord, we are going to be judged also, but it's a different judgment than that of the non-believer. So when we look at this particular judgment, this fire is going to prove the quality of our work. It's going to, you know, it's like the fire that takes out all the dross and the contamination from the gold, so that it will become pure. But if our work is like hay and wood or whatever, then we're going to suffer loss, but we are not going to lose our souls because of that, because our salvation came through Jesus Christ and not by our works. But our works are good as long as they were according to the word of God and not according to my, you know, being rich and my doing this or that. But what it comes down to, the work that I do, was it for the glory of God, or was it for me? Was it for myself? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there's going to be some Christians that have done some bad things, and it's going to be destroyed with fire. And that's what we have to remember. So we want to do good works. We don't want to stand before the throne of Jesus Christ with shamefacedness because we did nothing, or we did everything for ourselves. That's why it's good that we take care of one another. You know, the previous verses in this chapter saying, you know, hospitality, when we love one another, when we do for one another, these are the things that are going to stand the test of judgment that we will go through. It's a different kind of fire. Unlike the fire that the sinner and the ungodly will have to go through, which is a fire of torment, which the angels, the fallen angels and Satan will have to go through for eternity. But this judgment is talking about is a judgment of our works. But then it's saying, now if we as Christians are going to be judged, what is going to happen? Or what type of judgment will the ungodly man who denied Christ, what type of judgment will they find themselves in? And I'll tell you, it's not going to be a good judgment. It's going to be bad. Their names are not written in the book of life. And that's what we can rejoice about. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everyone who believes on the name of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So we as Christians, if we are doing the will of God, if we are working to please God, we will be rewarded because Jesus said he's going to come quickly and his reward is with him. So not only did Jesus Christ save us from our sins, but he's going to reward those who took what he has given us. He's going to reward us because what he's given us, we've given back to others. He has blessed us, and we bless others. When we do that, that is the will of God. It's not about how well my job is, and I'm making a whole lot of money, but it's about what did you do for others? What did you do to help the church? What did you do to help the pastor? What did you do to help your brothers and sisters in Christ? Did you feed the hunger? Did you do good works? And see, again, like I said before, as Christians, when we do according to the word of God, we will be rewarded for that. And that is so awesome. Not only did he save us, but now he's going to reward us. And even the Christians that really don't do a whole lot, even though their works may be burned up, it says that that soul shall not be lost. He himself shall not be lost. So we have so much to look forward to in Christ. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to stand before Christ with nothing. I want to stand before him and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. Amen. Amen. Now follow me, verse 18. Now, if the righteous one scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? And like I said before, where will they appear? They are going to appear in front of the white throne of God, and they will be judged, and it will not be a good judgment. In Proverbs 11:31, in the easy-to-read version Bible, it reads in the 31st verse, "If good people are rewarded here on earth, then surely those who do evil will also get what they deserve." And they will get what they deserve. You know, when you really look at it, no one deserves to be saved, and no one is able to be saved by his or her good works. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Since everyone deserves condemnation, and the only way that anyone can be saved is based solely on the results of God's grace that comes to us through his son Jesus Christ. So the thing is, if we are trying to make it to heaven by our good works, according to the word of God, you're not going to make it. Why? Because it is not Jesus Christ. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We can only be saved through the works of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do. The only work that we can do that can save us is when we accept the work that has already been done for us, and that is through Jesus Christ. So you can look at it this way. If God does not hold back judgment from his own people, imagine the end of the enemies of God who have no one to justify them before him. But we will, and his name is Jesus Christ. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, it says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, it reads, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead and who were not in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And that is where the ungodly will appear, in the lake of fire. You have just been giving a hellfire and brimstone message. And that's what's going to happen. There's no way around it. Our works that we do can only be done through Jesus Christ. And that is it. We must accept the works he has done. And that's when God will recognize it. Follow me. Verse 19. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." So as Christians, we are to entrust our very lives to God, especially in the midst of suffering. That even includes sickness. We are to always recognize and believe that he is the faithful creator who is in control of all things. Always remember this. God will never give us more than we can handle. Everything he does always has a good purpose, even when we do not always understand the why of it all. There's times I'll hear people go, "I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't know why God allowed me to go through this." Well, you know what? Neither do I. But what I am learning to do is always just to trust in the Lord, even when I don't understand why it's happening. What I try to do is to concentrate more on the one that is able to help me through the storm, the one who can calm the storm. But you know what? He doesn't always calm the storm. But I'll guarantee this, he's there with us. So I try not to always question God when I'm going through something. I just tried to hang on to him. I tried to keep my eyes on him. I tried to pray more and to be in his word more, because that's where I'm going to get my strength. I'm not going to get strength on trying to figure out why these things are going on in my life unless I'm doing something wrong. But if I know I'm not doing anything wrong, then I must always remember, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes you didn't do anything to deserve it. So even so, trust in the Lord, no matter what. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So God will give us the ability to bear whatever we have to go through. We just have to continue to trust in Him. And here's a verse, sometimes I think people wear out, but it's a true verse if we put it in its right place. And that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And you know what? We are to take that to heart. Just stop overusing it like the word "the." Let's put it in its true meaning. And that true meaning is, because I trust in the Lord, I'm going to trust that He is going to work this out. Why? Because God loves me. And so I'm willing to go through whatever I have to go through, even if I don't like it, even if I hate it, I'm still going to trust in Him, because He is able to keep me through this. Because the Word has promised me also that He's not going to take us through anything that we cannot bear. And I know there's times we feel and we think, "I just can't bear it. I just can't bear it." But you know what? We can, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is what causes our faith to grow. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." And I have been in that position before. I did not know what to pray. I did not know what to say. All I could do was groan. And yet it is so comforting to know that even at that time, the Word of God is there. His Holy Spirit is there, and He hears us. I don't have to explain everything to Him. He already knows. But what's important for us to do as men and women of God is to go to God, is to go to Him. Because His Holy Spirit will help us in the time of weakness. He will strengthen us. You know, as children of God, again, like I said, we don't always know what to pray for or how best to pray, but we can know the purpose of God, which the Holy Spirit desires to accomplish. So the primary reference of all things is the suffering of this present time. All circumstances will work together in cooperation with the believer's good. That is, the believer will be conformed to Jesus Christ now and reign with Him later. And that's what's the beauty of it all. If we just stay with Him, if we hang in there, we will be conformed in His image. And one day we will be facing Him in His glory. You know, the Bible counsels that we should trust in God everywhere and in all things, in good times and bad, beneath sunny skies and thundering clouds, when our pockets are full and when they are empty. How does trust work? Have you ever asked that? How does trust work? One, trust overcomes fear. Genuine trust in God says, "Whatever mess I'm in, my Heavenly Father will lead me." And two, trust overcomes depression. No matter how overwhelming the situation or how disheartened it makes us feel, God can draw us back to the light. And three, trust overcomes hate. When careless or cruel people hurt us, sometimes on purpose, we can hate them forever, or we can trust in God. But we can't do both. God is steady even in the worst situation, always with a promise, always with hope. We are to commit our lives to Him for safekeeping. We are to learn to rely on Him when we face the worst circumstances that this life may throw at us. I've gone through some things. I've heard people say things to me. I've faced some trials and tribulations that I wasn't too sure I was going to be able to make it through. But you know what? When we trust in the Lord and we remember, don't think it's strange that bad things can happen to good people, that bad things can happen to Christians. We are to continue to trust in the Lord no matter what. We are to trust in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you again for your word. Your word is so encouraging to us if we were but to pay attention to it, Lord. With the natural eyes, Lord, we may not understand it, but through your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can read it and understand what Peter meant when he said, "Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that may try us, Father." And we thank you, Lord, that when we go through trials and tribulations, that we can turn to you. And Lord, that when we turn to you, that you refresh us, and that because you refresh us, we can rejoice, Lord, because we know that you are with us, Lord, through the suffering. So, Father, whether it's through sickness, whether it's through health, whether it's through whatever, we can trust in you. Because, Lord, we know that you are with us. And, Lord, we know that we are blessed because you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, may your glory, Lord, glow within us. May the world see you through our lives, Lord. May they see a people that live for you even when times are good, even when times are bad, even when times are horrible. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will reflect your image. Protect us, Lord, not to allow ourselves to get in trouble because of the grief that may be coming up against us, Lord. But allow us, Lord, to turn to you. I thank you, Father God, that you hear us when we pray. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us your children because we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you bless everyone who hears this message, Lord. And I hope and pray that it's touched their lives and caused them to remember that, Lord, when we are living for you, we could suffer. And then, yet, Father, even if we don't have you, we suffer. So if I'm going to suffer, or if we are going to suffer, I would rather it be because we are living for you, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. I thank you for calling us again out of sin into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. Be with us, I pray. Strengthen us, I pray. And strengthen those, Lord, who are under this quarantine, self-quarantine, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you will give a peace in every home, and that you will not allow the enemy, Lord, to use this as a weapon against us, Lord. And even if he does, may it bounce off of us because you are protecting us through your Holy Spirit. Bless your people. Bless your church. Continue to strengthen us. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. May God bless you all. And again, I cannot wait until we can get together again in church in fellowship, physical fellowship. May God bless you all in Jesus' name.